Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast. And I must say, a very happy bunch they are, because life in the Championship could not really be going any better. Another victory on the weekend, this time beating Reading 2-0. Not just the 3 points, a clean sheet as well. Things just keep on looking sweeter. It was almost like they were never away. Well, someone who was away, now back in the studio, but that coat hanger a smile of his has just got that little bit bigger. We've even got cameras in the studio to capture it all. Rob Sullivan is here. Yeah. Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook also returning. It's a week of returnees. Rob and Ollie. Mark was back last week. Good to see you. We, of course, are missing Paul, but I'm sure he's having fun somewhere else.
Yeah, I believe so. He's out in Morocco with his twin girls. It's their 21st birthday, so he's out there treating them. But as Mark and I were discussing before the show, it's strategically picked an international weekend.
Very clever. I don't put nothing past him. He knows what he's doing. I'm sure he had a good book to read about trees on the way to Morocco. So I'm sure he's all good. Well, we do have to talk about the game against Reading. It was 2-0. Of course, a little bit later, we're going to be looking about the news that Steve Gallen has been made director now. Lee Bowyer, those rumours won't go away. And delighted to say, we've also got Kevin Nolan coming on from the South London Press to talk everything where the Addicts are concerned. Let's talk about the game then, because it was 2-0. And I'll start with Ollie, because I don't want to start with Rob, because I know he's just going to tell me he's got hotels booked for Manchester. He's already doing a Premier League recce for next year. He's waiting. He knows. He's scouting the teams. He started to watch Match of the Day more. He's probably passing on some notes. But it was 2-0. Clean sheet, Ollie. 3 points. Away from home. Lyle Taylor got another goal. It just doesn't get any better, does it?
This Championship stuff's quite easy, isn't it? Like, I've been being a bit more pragmatic about it. I'm not too optimistic, but yeah, we're definitely going up this season. Like.
Well, there we go.
The game was amazing. I really, really enjoyed it. The fans were really loud throughout the game. We had a lot of people tweeting us, Reading fans, after the game, saying how good our support was. And I think that really did make a difference, because the first half we were under quite a bit of pressure from Reading. They hit the bar. They had a 1-1. Dylan Phillips made a good save. Then we went at half time. Lee Bowyer got on everyone's ears. They came out second half and just completely wiped the floor of them. We were by far the better team. Reading didn't really have any chance apart from that free kick, which was brilliantly saved by Phillips. He had a great game. Just we were by far the better team, and 2-0 was the least we deserved from the game, so I'm thrilled.
Absolutely buzzing. Well, it's played 6, 14 points, unbeaten, yet to lose. Lee Bowyer continuously says, you know, let's just keep getting those 40 points, 50 points. You know, looking at the teams around us, still looking down. Mark, you're not buying it, are you?
No, I'm not buying it. I think Lee Bowyer is just—he was the master of the understated last year. He was a few mind games thrown out there. I honestly think he's telling the players another thing. I mean, because they're just playing for him like no tomorrow, aren't they? I mean, it's just different class. I mean, the boys are literally putting their bodies on the line for him every week.
Yeah, I'm massively pleased. You can't argue. I mean, he said after the game, didn't he? He said they're in that zone where they're winning every game, and he just wants to help keep encouraging that and make that happen. And it just looks, that they've got the bit between their teeth. And unfortunately, the international break has come off the back of two. It's frustrating, because we've got two wins, two clean sheets. You want that momentum to carry on. But I'm kind of hoping, looking on the positive side, to get the some of the players that we got late fully fitness, get them back up to speed and have them contributing as well. But yeah, really pleased with the win. And I think Bowyer has this really great ability to kind of look at the game at half time and see, because the first half, I think, Ollie, you said it was pretty even, wasn't it, in terms of Reading looked okay. They threatened us a couple of times, but second half we just took over. So he reads the game so well and adapts and changes accordingly.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he said, but the way we came out second half was a different approach to the game, much less defensive, really getting the ball moving forwards. And lot to handle. Then at one point we had three strikers on. We had Leko up top, we had Anike playing, and Taylor. We're just really throwing everything at them, and there's not, they couldn't handle us. And that's how we got the goal. Big deflection, but you know they all count. And Anike getting hauled over for that penalty as well, which Noel Taylor walked up to and put away again.
I'm glad you said walks, because I was worrying at the speed he's going at, but it is obviously a theme. Still there, yeah. Mark, you mentioned then, you think that Boya is almost doing a bit of media speak. He's saying, we're looking down, you know, concentrating on the teams. Let's just get to safety. Let's get that confirmed. And he's telling the players something different. I believe that he's actually speaking to the players through the press, because if he starts G-ing the players up and going, flying here, actually, it's not a league above us, we can do it. They start becoming a little big for their boots, getting big heads, and then those wins turn into draws, and then the draws turn into losses. I think a way to keep them on their toes is through the press, and they're going, no, it's only September now. Yeah. You know, if you think you've had a nice sunny August, just come back off the beach. Like, we're six games in, there's 40 to go.
No, you're bang on,
Could there be an element to that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. I quite agree with you there. I'm just getting hit up. As I said last week, he makes me want to get my boots back on again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Massively.
But, you know, we can't get above ourselves, you know what I mean? We've got some tough games in September. Obviously, we've got Birmingham at home, Leeds
away.
At home, Wigan away, Swansea. So it's going to be a tough September. So let's see. Let's not get above ourselves.
Yeah, a few tricky games. You know how quick life can change in the Championship.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, one loss breeds a second loss. But Ollie, you mentioned that Cholton maybe won't have a great deal of possession in some games, and you know they've got to take their chances. But the game against Reading, this is a Reading team that are unbeaten in five, split fairly even down the possession. You had your chances, and now with these wins as well, Cholton, the confidence is only growing. I know wins breed confidence, but that's transferring over to the players, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes from even players that we hadn't seen too much of this season. Sam Field, who he's only played a few games so far on loan from West Brom. He had an absolutely brilliant game against Reading. Didn't let them get anywhere near the box. Really defensive, but he played really well. And that's just coming from the confidence of players around him who are, you know, they're playing out their socks. Conor Gallagher, we've been talking about before. He's amazing. He's
a
player.
Real talent.
He really is. He's got a really bright future ahead of him, and he's playing without any fear. He's playing with so much confidence, and the things he's trying to do, it's great to watch. But he has to come from confidence, and that's, you can see it all throughout the team. And each win, they're just getting more and more confident.
And it's going back to your point, Mark. I think the way Bowie is kind of managing the press and the expectation, it's a very young team.
Yeah,
it's so young, and it's very, you know, some of those players.
But we
like,
do have experience as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, no.
Sprinting, we've got Johnny Williams. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Lyle
Taylor. Lyle Taylor, Prattley. You know, you've got Pierce there.
Pierce,
but I think
what
especially with the younger new, like the likes of Leko and that, managing their introduction into the team and how you sort of, you know, 15 players coming in over the summer as well, like completely rebuilding. So I'm exactly the same as you, Mark. He's, every time you hear Bowie speak, your motivation, you kind of get behind him.
Am I right in thinking that was Jonathan Leko's first goal as well?
Yeah,
professional football.
It was, yeah.
Oh, okay. First of many, hopefully.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Leko, that game, he had a few opportunities and a few moments where you're thinking like you made the wrong decision or you maybe got a bit greedy, but you know, he's only doing it out of confidence, as we're saying, it's spreading through the team. And I think he's a real threat. And if he just gets his decision making a little bit better, he's gonna really rip up this league.
Yeah.
Rob, Dylan Phillips has come in for a little bit of criticism. He makes the odd mistake, but played brilliantly on the weekend. Ian, are you pleased with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't even see where the criticism is coming
from. When he's answering me. Every answer's a smile, this man.
I tell you, I've been having Twitter battles over Dylan Phillips with some of our younger fans who are a little bit more vociferous just because he makes one mistake. Like, oh, it's the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Come on.
He got his two clean sheets now. I mean, the Brentford game was backs to the wall, different type of performance. That save he pulled off in the second half, because you're still, concentration's got to be there for the full 90 minutes. And you think you go 2-0 up, concentration can lapse and you know, the not at all, and it's also the relationship he's going to start to have with that, I think, having Lockyer and Pierce in front of him, though, because they've been superb. I think that's really helped. Lockyer especially looks so good. So really, really good. Really happy. And I think Phillips is just testament to the spirit in that team and how well they all work and how hard they all work.
obviously, Rob, to make an unbeaten start, the team has to play well as a collective. But every week, we're singling out a few individuals who just seem to be working their socks off, playing really well. We started the first couple of shows with life back in the Championship saying, you know, Prattley, he does all the hard work. He's not being sung about, do you know what I mean? He goes unnoticed, but he's really doing it. Now Prattley's on the bench. He's coming on for 20 minutes, still making an impact. But we're talking about Gallagher. We're talking about Pearce. Everyone seems to be, you know, pulling trees up at the minute. But we look at the team of the month, the Championship team of the month. Not one Cholton player. Mark, you're shaking your head already. I can't finish my sentence.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, all right, a lot of people were saying, oh, look, let's go under the radar. Let's, you know, not worry. All right, I know Lyle Taylor's been nominated for player of the month. But, I mean, you're not telling me Johnny Williams with four assists this month.
Colin Gallagher with three goals.
I mean, I know Hernandez at Leeds is a good player, but I don't even think he's scored yet, has he? I don't know, to be honest, but I can't be having... At least one of those players has got to be in the team in the month, surely.
Well, there's two Reading players and you beat them on a weekend, but exactly. Yeah, it is strange how they've worked it out. They've done it out on a rating basis, but if strikers are scoring goals, midfielders are assisting, you would have thought that their ratings would have been higher.
Exactly.
And people go, oh, it's only a team in a month. Do these things really matter? And my argument is, yeah, to the fans, and they really matter. And I'm sure they actually matter to the players.
I mean, look, we didn't get one player in the League One team of the year last season. We got promoted.
That's true.
And that is, you know, so yes, I can't understand it, however they do it in terms of the ratings, what stats they use. But for me, whatever stats or metrics you want to use, we should have someone in there, whether it be Williams, Gallagher or Taylor or, you know, whoever. So I completely agree. It's
it doesn't even have to be stats or anything. You just look at the team, you can see people are playing well. We're winning games, we're doing something right, and they're not even recognising individuals. You barely hear any conversations really about how well Charlton are doing. They're all talking about Swansea, or talking about like Leeds have a good team. We are really going under the radar, and to be honest, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, while the players and the fans want us to be recognised, it's quite good that our best players aren't, so the bigger clubs don't go sniffing around. Yeah.
To me, at the minute, I feel like Cholton are the feel-good story of the Championship. Regardless that we do this fan show every week and I talk to you, I just feel like the season and the start you've had, I know it's only six games in, I say the season, but it's a brilliant start, unbeaten. And it does feel like, I know we have maybe some quite super clubs in the Championship, Leeds, and we know of their ambitions, Fulham coming down, but it does feel like Cholton aren't getting a lot of national media exposure that they should be. But I do think that flying under the radar, and with what Lee Bowyer saying to the press, this could only help, Mark.
Yeah, you're probably right. And, you know, these teams, these managers out there, they're not silly. They know what a good team we are, and they know how difficult it's going to be to come down to the Valley and trying to take the points down at our place. Been unbeaten in the league since October 2018. You want the points for our place, you're going to have to fight for them. And we will fight for them. Don't worry about that. On the pitch.
on the pitch. Well, it wasn't. Well, you do have some tricky games coming up. You do play Leeds at the end of the month. That's another team that's up there. Yep. Are you now? It is a little way off, and we'll do a deeper preview when we get to it. But are you now looking at that game? I suppose you look at it at the start of the season. You pick out certain fixtures. Don't you? We're looking forward to Leeds coming down. We're looking forward to going to Elland Road. But now, are you looking and thinking we're doing all right? We might take Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, I think my immediate thought will be Birmingham next Saturday, because you just try and take it one game at a time. But
you
absolutely. And
you ain't taking it one game at
a
time.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my head, we're often promoted already. But I just think that will be in it. I mean, I don't know, because we've had such a good start, what would happen if we do get beat. Do you know what I mean? You'd hope that the mentality that Bowie has put into them, that you can see they're fighters and they don't, you know, if we do get beat, you know, how does the team react? You know,
I'm just going to go on last season. The big games last season, we played at home. Luton at home, Barnsley at home, the teams all around
Portsmouth.
Us. Portsmouth at home. We smashed them.
Yeah.
You know, down at our place. You know, so when they're coming to us, I'm confident we can beat anyone at the Valley. That goes without saying. Obviously, we've got to put the work in, and we've got to, you know, score goals, obviously. But I'm confident we can beat anyone at the Valley, even if we'd lost three or four games at the start of the season. But now we haven't. These teams now know they've got to come to us, and they've got to do something to win the game.
You said that, and Ollie, you said it, of course, that obviously points at the Valley, that's going to be the most important in this Championship season, being back there. But you have got a couple, you know, you are unbeaten in six. You've got a couple of results away as well, you know, the away form. Yeah. Is that something maybe of a bonus then? Were you just thinking home form this year, home form back in the Championship? But if we're going to beat Blackburn away, you just beat Reading away, you know, it's going well as well.
Yeah, I mean, we play in a different way when we're going away, because we realise, especially early on, you know, they're going to come at us, and we played quite defensively, then come out in the second half. We saw that at Reading, we saw that at Blackburn. It's just the way we've been doing it. And at the Valley, we go straight at them. From minute one, we can see if we can get like 2-3 goals in the game, which we have done so far, which has been brilliant. But, I mean, you guys, I can't remember the last time we've lost a game. Like, honestly, no. We haven't lost a game in ages.
It's this calendar year.
Fleet was away, wasn't it?
Was that
Oxford, wasn't it? Away, on yeah. Friday. But that in itself is kind of, I think, for me, how the whole club feels, because we're just on that cloud and it hasn't really stopped since we got promoted. So as bizarre as it does sound, I don't expect us to lose any game we play at the moment. No. That's how good it feels. I mean, that, you know, touch wood, it goes on for as long as it can, but it's a really good feeling.
But if players take that into the game as well, they feel like they can't be beaten, it does give you an extra 10%. Well, it is a real feel-good feeling around the club in a minute. And even better news, because Steve Gallen just made director. We're going to be talking all about that next.
Love Sport.
This is the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. You're listening to me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast. Rob Sullivan, Ollie Cook and Martin Adkins. As you can hear, we're having a laugh in the studio. We're not laughing, though, because Charlton's form in the league is absolutely fantastic. We were just talking about the brilliant victory away to Reading there. 2-0, 3 points, clean sheet, away from home. Happy days. It can't go any better. Talking of good news, Steve Gallen has just been made director. And I know, just from hearing what you guys have to say on the show every week, it's Lee Bowyer and Steve Gallen, you know, finding the players. He's been brilliant at the club. Is this just the news you wanted to hear? Just perked you up even more, Mark?
Well, we weren't expecting it, to be honest. So it's, I don't know. Some people are trying to put two and two together, getting five, saying, why has he been made a director? What's that all about? Because they're thinking, oh, something's going to happen down the pipeline. Because someone was going along the lines of, you've got to have three directors in situ at the club to make the sow or something. I don't know, but it is good news, because it means he's not going anywhere, because he's now got his feet under the table, and long may it continue.
But I just, like, it's great to see Steve Gallen commit himself to the future of the club, because what he's done over the last 2 years, especially the players he's brought in or what he's had a hand in, has completely transformed the club. We had some players in we had never heard of before who did nothing on the pitch, some really poor recruitment over the last few years, and he's come in, he's brought in people like Lyle Taylor for £0, and I mean, the return we've got on him is unbelievable. And you know, the 15 players who've come in, most of them who have been playing so far, look brilliant. He just knows exactly what he's doing. He's got his style in mind, he's got players in mind, and he makes sure he goes out and gets them. And he needs some recognition for the work he's done, and he's been made director. I suppose that's in a small way a bit of recognition, but the fact he's going to be at the club for longer, that means a lot to every Charlton fan out there.
I couldn't agree more. I think fully deserved, and recognition of the great work he's done. And just, I was reading up on him the other day. He's a football man through and through. He's done his coaching badges. He comes from a footballing family. Yep. He goes back a long way in the game. And you just get the feeling, I think, I can't remember, he was on the show, when he, about a year ago.
February time.
So, and came across so eloquently, knows his stuff, talks a good, and I think it's just testament to how hard he's worked. I think the example, the best one, was when he said he got a sniff of Josh Cullen being available from, and he was straight in there, and that was good, because it was continuity from the team last season. He's picking out, like, you know, you look at Field and Lecco, and Field's just starting to make an impact. Lecco's made an impact. West Brom, you know, how he's got those sort of players from a Championship rival, and, you know, we're sitting above them on the table at the moment.
It's crazy, that one. I think West Brom will really regret that.
Because I was on the Championship fan show the other day with Kieran.
Yeah,
I was on with that, and the guy was asking me, you know,
nice
about...
plug there, Mark. Kieran Critchard, Love Sport, yeah. Championship fan show, tune in.
Yeah, it was really good. And, you know, just had a chat with him about it, and he was, and then I said, I think maybe the penny's finally dropped with Roland. And I said this last week as well, didn't I? That he might need to invest a bit of money to go up and obviously see the pound signs coming for the Premier League. And then I got a load of stick on Twitter about it, because obviously Love Sport retweeted it out, my little clip. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't spent loads of money on players, but these players from Brighton ain't on £50 a week, are they? Mm. You know, and then we've now brought in Adam Matthews today, another good signing, ex-Sunderland, Celtic, you know, Champions League player and things. So that's another strength in depth. It's that's Gallen all over. He's just done such a great job.
Not only is Gallen doing a brilliant job in his own right, as is Lee Bowyer, but also when two of them work together as a marriage, you want to continue that partnership. This can only help to sustain that, can't it, Rob?
Absolutely, and we saw at the start of the season himself, Jackson, all getting their contracts extended, a goalkeeping coach as well, Marshall. So it's really important to have the unit, and I think that goes across the club as well, because it's about, you know, it's deeper. I think you got Yule doing the under 23s, who's been recognised by the FA this week to do the coaching, Tracy Leeburn, the player liaison officer. So there's a lot going on there, integral to the wider club, and Gallen is a massive part of that. And I think as well, it just seems to have, in this bizarre De Châtelet ownership structure, it seems to kind of just work. I don't know how it's working and why it's working, but Bowyer and Gallen seem to be able to manage this. And I think him being appointed as director sort of suggests that there is going to be that stability, at least on the pitch and around the playing side of the club.
Well, hopefully we can have a bit of stability in the front office, because Gallen obviously has got this promotion, let's say. He's been appointed to the Charlton board of directors. Can this help Lee Bowyer stand? Because obviously Charlton are doing excellent in the Championship this season. They did get promoted last year. There's always going to be rumours around Lee Bowyer. For me personally, I don't think any of the jobs that he's been linked with he would personally want to go to. He's on to a good thing here, a good project, but he is being linked. Is there any concern from the Charlton fans, Ollie?
I mean, personally, I don't think so. Looking at, well, actually, I mean, kind of, Rob, you were saying it there. The people who, the core of the club, who are actually making a huge difference, the mainly Lee Bowyer, Johnny Jackson, Jason Yule, Tracy Leeburn, they all have connections to the club beyond just their job right now. They've played for us. They're from a youth system. They have relationships with the club that's long standing. So they understand a bit more about the DNA, what is to be Charlton, and that's carried on into the job. And then, I mean, Bowyer has such a good thing going right now. So maybe a club might offer him more money or give him a bigger transfer budget. That doesn't matter, because he knows more about Charlton than he ever would to, say, Huddersfield come in for him, or, let's say, you know, Reading go in for him, or whoever it might be. He knows more about Charlton. He knows exactly how to make these players tick and what makes the fans happy. And that's been shown on the pitch. And if someone does come in, why would he leave?
I'm not saying this to appease Charlton fans, but if I'm being totally honest, is Huddersfield a more attractive job than Charlton? I would say no. Yes, they've recently been in the Premiership, but to me, Lee Bowyer from the area, Charlton manager, what's going on, Huddersfield, loads of problems. Is it an attractive job? No.
Well, not for me, but I mean, I'm biased, obviously. I mean, they've got the beauty of the parachute payments from the Premier League. So
For another season after this, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's difficult, but I mean, I see today they've been linked with Nigel Adkins now, so maybe they've given up on Bowyer.
Yeah, and I thought personally when I saw that, I think Huddersfield are a very well run club. They've got a decent chairman, good setup there, but no disrespect to them, I think it's just knowing the Bowyer situation. I think Bowyer's very intelligent as well, in that he's only one full season into his job. I think he's wanting to really establish himself and do something here. And yes, there may be more money on the table, but it's a very fraught life being a manager of a football club. And it could, you know, we saw the likes of Jones at Stoke and before that, Rowett, who I thought is an excellent manager, didn't go well for him. And you know, it just sort of falls apart very quickly. So I think there's an element to Bowyer's thinking that I want to build something here at Charlton, do something long term. Knows the club inside out. I think he's very settled in the area in terms of his family. So, yeah, I don't personally see him going anywhere anytime soon.
Rob, obviously Steve Gallen has got this appointment and promotion because of the great work he's doing. But do you reckon there's been one eye on it, like, right, if we do this with Gallen, this helps us get Bowyer to stay longer, you know, because he's seeing what we're doing here. We want this to continue. And now the hope is we'll tie Gallen down. Let's tie Bowyer down for longer. Is there an element to that?
Yeah, but I think hopefully that was kind of sorted out at the start of the season anyway with a contract.
It's only a year, though.
It's only a year, that's true.
That's why
true.
I ask. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's difficult. Again, that's going back to our owner and what's going on in his head. But, yes, I think it's good that he's got that official title. I'm not reading anything into it in terms of what it means further down the line. I think it's just a recognition of getting that there as a, and also I don't think there's anyone from De Châtelet's side that he entrusts that's involved in kind of running the club on a day-to-day basis as well. So I think that Leaving de Turk's disappeared, hasn't he? I've not heard anything about that. So, yeah, good appointment for me, and I'm really happy.
Well, someone who may know more, I'm delighted to say next we're going to be talking to Kevin Nolan from the South London Press.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast. Rob Sullivan, Ollie Cook and Mark Adkins, obviously talking everything where Charlton are concerned. A brilliant victory away at Reading 2-0. We were just talking about the good news, Steve Gallen being made director, and those Lee Bowyer rumours, they just won't go away. But I'm delighted now to be joined on the phone by Kevin Nolan from the South London Press. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. A fantastic start being back in the Championship for the Addicts. Could they have dreamed this start? It couldn't have really gone any better, could it?
Well, I'd like to be able to say that I saw it coming, but I didn't. I'm the world's worst pessimist. I really thought we would struggle. I thought we'd make it. I didn't think we'd get relegated. I didn't think it was absolutely ruinous. But the way we lost that midfield, you know, Aribo, Cullen and Bielik, I thought that is going to be so hard to replace. But these guys that come in, these low knees, I mean, I've got to admit, I'd never heard of Conor Gallagher. Yeah. But and Lecco and Sam Field, they've been around, I know, but I've never heard of them because I don't follow their clubs. And they've come in and they seem to just tap in straight to the Charlton ethos. And that is got to be down to Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson. And we love this club. We know it. You know, we love Charlton. We're daft about it. And they come in and it's really inspiring. You know, I'm experiencing man love for these guys. I really do have a bad crush on Conor Gallagher. You know, I love the way his hair is all tousled, you know. And he's just a cracking footballer. And the guys that we have already, like Tom Lockyer and Jason Pearce. And you know, it's just, the list is endless. I'm just blown away. I mean, I come from a long line of pessimists. I used to knock around when we used to go up and down the country when I was travelling by car. His name is Derek Chapman. He said to me once, you know, Kev, you know what happens? My first reaction when Charlton score? I said, no, what is it? He said, surprise. I said, I know exactly where you're coming from. And then I always check the linesman to make sure I'm my own little walk-in VAR. I never, ever assume anything good is going to happen until it's happened and it's signed and sealed. I'm burbling on. Someone stop me.
Kevin, hello, mate. It's Robert here.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, how you doing? It's basically, I mean, obviously, it's been a fantastic start to the season and different types of wins as well and different types of performances. And I think you touched on a player there that I'm really keen to talk about. I think Locklear's been superb.
Seems like a rock.
To fit in.
And those recovery tackles, he seems to make his own... you know, patented tackle. He lets people get goal side of him, and then just as they're going to pull the trigger, he just purloins the ball. It's, you know, unbelievable. He can't keep doing it. Stop doing it, Tom. Stop letting them get goal side of you in the first place. But if you've got to do it. You know, wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. And Phillips, you know, the much maligned Dylan. Yeah, come on. He's terrific. Terrific player. Terrific goalkeeper. And Chris Solly. I know we've got this new right back, Matthews. Today, Solly won't moan and groan. Solly's a solid professional, and he shut a few people up, and he shut them up at Reading, where he was definitely faced with their best player, that Ejiara, which his name was, wore the number 11, I think, and he gradually solved him and subdued him, and you know, great stuff.
Kevin,
anything else you want to know?
Yeah, Kevin, are you surprised that Naby Sarr's not really had a look in this season?
I didn't get that.
Are you surprised that Naby Sarr has not really featured this season? Bearing in mind, towards the end of last season, he was a mainstay of the team.
Well, Naby is a terrific footballer, but he had those couple of games earlier this season when he horsed around as he tends to do, got robbed, and there was trouble. And I don't think it's a surprise that Lockyer and Pearce are keeping them out. But what he's one hell of a deputy to have.
He certainly is.
We know he can step in at centre-back. We have a really, you know, signed, sealed-delivered replacement for Lockyer or Pearce, and that's comforting. But it does surprise me because I thought he would actually, the penny would drop, And I think it has. Yeah. I think he played very well when he came in. I can't remember what game it was recently. He came in and did 90 minutes, and he was perfect. In fact, the one where we drew with Nottingham Forest, well, did he play against Nottingham Forest?
He played against Forest, yes. Yeah, and he played well
and
that
I think
night.
He was outstanding. Yeah. I think he was, and in the next game, he was out again. Because, you know, that's the way it works. Pierce was rested, and Pierce is the captain. He's inspirational. The guy, he throws himself in the way of balls, like he's shot out of a cannon, you know, and bodily blocks shots before they even got any underway. It's amazing. Really inspiring. The whole thing is just... I just love this side. I'm really enjoying looking at them. I know that eventually we're going to lose. I think I'll be able to handle it, and I think they will too. I think Lee Bowyer will handle it. It will be just the way it is. That's the way it is in football.
Off the field of play, Kevin, what do you see about this decision to make Steve Gallen a director? Do you read anything into it?
I don't know anything about business. I mean, he's a director. It's terrific. I mean, the guy's doing a wonderful job. And yeah. The backroom staff at Charlton, you know, are all sound as bells. I mean, Bowyer just seems to have them all doing the same thing, and the football's coming through. The football, you know, we hung on against Brentford, but by and large, our football, that first half against Nottingham Forest was stunning. The ball was zipping around, one and two touch. Everyone was comfortable on the ball. Everyone wanted it. It couldn't last. We knew when we were 1-0 up at half-time. I think we all said to each other privately, yeah, it's not enough. And it wasn't. But we got the 1-1 draw. And a couple of years ago, we'd have lost in the last minute. Not now. This team took the reverse of the equaliser and soaked it up and sucked it up and got the point that we deserved. You know, and that just, it was like winning in a way.
Kevin, we really appreciate you coming on tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We hopefully will talk to you a little bit later on in the season. Kevin Nolan there from the South London Press. I want to talk to you a little bit now, and Kevin mentioned it, even though the transfer window has closed, Charlton have made another signing. They've signed right back Adam Matthews on a one deal. He was on a trial at the Valley. Another signing. Excited about this, Mark?
Don't know an awful lot about him, but you look into his record. I mean, he's played in the Champions League, he's played in Europa League, he's played over 100 odd games for Celtic.
Played against Charlton last year, didn't he?
I believe he did. Yeah. So I'm not. But if Bowyer and Gallen like him, then we've got to be happy. He's going to be back up for Chris Solly. Chris Solly can't play two games a week, obviously, because of his knee. So he'll get game time. And I think it's just a nice, solid. And I said earlier, it will also free up Osilaja to be back up into the centre-halves as well. Although he did a good job at right-back. He's not a right-back.
I think it's sort of testament to how well Gallen is doing, because every signing you do make now, you go, well, if we've signed him, and Lee and Gallen want him, it's in Gallen and Lee we trust, isn't
we
it?
We could go through the whole list of players that we've signed since Gallen's come in. I can't remember a bad one.
Yeah. And this is it. I mean, Kevin just mentioned it there. You know, the midfield players you did lose after last season, you know, it was almost a case of, oh, these are indispensable, they're irreplaceable. Not only have the players you've replaced them with are playing well, but no one's even mentioning Aribo up at Rangers, and it's almost like they weren't here last year.
I mean, that for me was the bit, because you lose the core of the team when you go up, you want to build on that, and you lose, I mean, Aribo, inevitable. I mean, the one that is interesting to me, Bilic doesn't look like he's had a great start to Derby. They're not playing well. And he's just 10 minutes. And we've got, I mean, getting Cullen back was brilliant. But, yeah, just finding those players again, a bit like Mark. I'm not too know too much about Matthews, but as you say, in Bowyer and Gallen we trust, and he'll come in and provide cover.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about how the midfield from last season broke up. So we had Bilic, we had Cullen, we had Rebo, we had Williams, and we thought they're all gone. That's the end of them. And while Bilic has gone and Rebo has gone, we brought in Gallagher, we brought in Field. who were just as good players or slightly different. And we thought, oh, well, you know, Collins gone and Williams is gone, but they're both back.
Come back. Mm.
What he's done and managed to get these players into the club has been unbelievable. And every time he brings in a player and that player may move on or go somewhere else, whoever he brings in, we know is going to be just as good or, you know, good in a different sense. So we absolutely trust him.
Well, life back in the Championship has gone brilliantly. A fantastic start so far. Unbeaten. September is now upon us, but it is the international break. We're looking if that's come at the right or the wrong time.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Cheltenham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, a very happy SE7 podcast, Rob Sullivan, Martin Adkins and Ollie Cook, because life in the Championship is going very, very well, maybe even better than first thought. But it is now time for the international break, and sometimes these international breaks can come at a good time, you know, recover from injuries, get a few players back, work on a few things where in games it's gone wrong. Well, the games aren't going wrong. Cheltenham are unbeaten. Rob, has this international break possibly come at the wrong time?
I think off the back of the two... yes and no for me. The two wins, very good wins. But I think that the start to the season, it's been six games, I think, in August, which is quite...
Seven.
Seven if you include the cup. Yeah. And I think Bowie really put them through their paces in pre-season as well in terms of the work he wanted to do on fitness, because we've touched upon how he wants to use that as kind of one of the things we go back to as a team this season to be fitter than most as well. So yes and no for me. Great. I think Brentford was a really tough game. You know, they really piled the pressure on. But Reading, we're flying because we've picked up another win. So, yeah, it's I can see both sides to it personally, this one.
We've lost a few players on international duty, haven't we? So yeah. It's you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it? He can have a few in, or he's probably given him a few days off, isn't he? So
yeah, but I mean, people are worried about losing momentum, but like at the end of the season, we had 2 months off, and then we've carried on with that momentum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe 1 week won't make that much of a difference, so I don't think I'm too worried.
Also, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If Cheltenham come back and they win that first game against Birmingham, it's like, oh, you know, we've got a few players back. We've picked up where we left off. If you lose it, people are like, oh, well, we had these 14 days off, didn't we? We hadn't had a game for 2 weeks. Yeah. You know, it's all gone wrong. It's easy to say that, but you know. Dare I say it, what should they be working on in this little break? Is there anything, if there is a vulnerability or a little flaw, a little thing you've seen, a little concern maybe, Mark, what is it?
Well, one thing we do know that we will be working on is he'll be working on Macaulay Bond, because he refused to send him out on loan, because he said, I see him as a project, so I've got to work on him. Yep. So that's one thing. Obviously, bit of finishing here or there, you know. I don't know. It's hard to say. How can you improve on that, really? It's difficult, isn't it?
The main thing is obviously getting those players fit. Like, we have people like Kyle who's not played a game yet. Toma Hemmer's not 100% fit yet. We need to get them up to a... Yeah, Page as well. We need to get them to a level where they can at least be on the bench, let alone start a game. And that's what I suppose these 2 weeks are focusing on, just getting people back to that level where they can be competitive again.
Yeah, I agree. It's... Bon is a player they want to invest in. They look like they're going to give him a run, which is good, because there was talk of him potentially going out on loan. I must admit, I was surprised on Monday was the deadline, wasn't it? Just passed. I did want to see, now that we've got the cover in midfield, I wanted to see Morgan go out on loan, because I think he's a great player.
I was amazed by that, and they said they'd had no interest. I couldn't believe it.
Because I think he's going to go on to be a really good player, and I think he would be a player that benefits from getting league games under his belt. Lapsley, I wanted to keep, because I think, I mean, he was superb
when he
came on against Brentford, and his performance at right back, I think he's really good. So, you know, for me, I think it was just Wydoo in the end, wasn't it, that went out, and
he's gone to Colchester.
Yeah, so we'll see, really. I don't know what, you know, what will go on, because I think a few of our players are away on international duty. The likes of Gallagher's away, Lockyer's in the Williams, they're in the Welsh squad, Cullen in the full.
The two Israeli boys.
Yeah.
The last thing Cheltenham need now is some injuries picking up, because you want to, you know, hate to mention it and be negative, but it is 14 points from six games, and it never works out like that, football, when you break it up into tiers. But at the start of the season, where did you think you would be going into this international break? Where did you see yourselves points wise and table wise, Ollie?
I was thinking we're going to have a strong, well, not a strong start to the season, but we're going to have to be quite solid at the back to see if we can pick up points rather than actually win games. I mean, if you told me that we were going to beat Stoke 3-1, I would have laughed. I wouldn't have thought we'd ever be able to do that. But we did it so convincingly. So I would have thought we got nowhere near the points we have. I thought we'd have half of that, if that, maybe 6 points coming into this. I thought we were going to really struggle this season. But
and was 6 points something you would have taken if we're sitting here today? 6 points from six, you're in and around, you're fighting?
Yeah, I mean, we would have been, what, like mid-table, 14th, 15th, maybe that sort of area. I thought, you know, that'd be quite good because I thought we were in for a big relegation fight. And we might still be at the end of the season, but, I mean, looking at it right now, I can't believe we've got 14 points right now.
Rob, where did you see yourself with this start?
It was difficult. I was a bit fearful going into the Blackburn game, given the state of the squad a week before the transfer deadline and just what we pulled off in that last week and the players we brought in and the bonuses, I guess, were like the likes of Otsuma getting the Hemed deal over the line based on where we thought that might have gone. So if you had said to me before the Blackburn game, I was a bit nervous, but since the way we've started, the win against Stoke, I'd have taken a couple of wins out of the six games personally, but just how bullish I am now based on the way we started is completely different.
Just on our home form alone, I would have expected at least two wins and maybe one away win, maybe a point, you know. So we've exceeded all our expectations. No one can say we would have expected this.
Well, you've exceeded expectations. You do have 14 points after six games. So now we can look at September with that knowledge intact. Only three games, a lot less in September. You've gone from seven games to three games. You play Birmingham at home, Wigan Athletic away. Then obviously the big clash at the end of the month, Leeds at home. Three games. Obviously, keeping the start in mind, what would you take from those three games, performances and points-wise, Rob?
Seven points.
Is that a minimum, or what you're hoping for? And is that obviously because you're thinking of the previous six games as well?
I think we can beat Birmingham. I think we could get a result against Wigan as well. And who knows after those two what we can do against Leeds? I do think confident I'm going into that Birmingham game, given that we're at home. Wigan, I don't think they've had the greatest start. I know they're better at home than they are away, but they only got a point against Barnsley, didn't they, on Saturday? Well, yeah.
Well, I'm going to Wigan away. I've got my tickets and my train ticket, so we're going to win up there.
Right, well, that's in. That's 3 points.
I'll take seven again. But I'll take seven, obviously. I think seven, but I'll take five. I'll be happy with five.
Ollie, I'm guessing you're maybe slightly more... I don't want to say pessimistic, but you maybe see maybe a tougher run in September than Martin Robb.
No, actually, I'm going to be...
You're going to go nine.
I think we can get 9 points. I do.
Hey!
Go on, mate. We don't lose at
Converted.
The Valley. We don't lose at the Valley. It just doesn't happen. We're going to beat Birmingham because we're a better side than them, especially at home. We go up to Wigan. If we play the way we did against Reading, we'll win that. And then everyone talks about how strong team Leeds are. And yeah, they've got good players. Yeah, they've got a good manager. But... again, there's something about the way Charlton play against these teams without fear and with such confidence that I think we can nick a point there, or 3 points are there.
Birmingham have sold their end out. Leeds will sell their end out. Mm. So, you know, we rise to the occasion in the big games. Yeah. We do.
The occasion. I mean, we're looking at it now because there is less games in September. We get the seven, get the nine, you know, add it already to the 14. Then we get to October time and then... expectations changing, I suppose, is the question I'm trying to get towards, because from where you're nodding already, but now is that just solely based on them six games that now, you know, we're back in the Championship, we really want to stay there, but now, like, no, we belong here, this is how we're playing football, actually I'm sick of this, you know, let's make sure we stay up, let's actually push on.
I think the younger element of our fan base, i.e. the covered end upper lot, they're the ones that are getting me. Above themselves. That's old farts like me. I've seen it all, been there, done it, so I'm not going to get above myself. But I think, yeah, the expectations probably will build. If we win a couple more games, it will.
But have they already built? Because you're nodding, you're saying seven, you're saying nine, you know. And I think maybe Lee Bowyer's the one doing the looking down, but you lot, I don't want to say looking up, but you're certainly looking around, you're thinking, well, what could we do this season?
Yeah, but I think he has. Yeah, I think he is personally looking up as well. I think I think he's just selling... perhaps the media one thing, and I think he
spoke about it, yeah.
I think for me, I don't know how the other chaps feel, but I think this is probably the best team we've had since we probably got out of the Premiership. For me, I know we had the record points winning season under Powell, but something about this setup feels much more I don't know, it's got a lot more oomph to it, and there's a lot more fight and spirit, and I think it's something, you know, if we keep going,
that's
I think
that's a bold statement.
It is a bold statement, but
it shows
you
what football wins do, honestly. Yeah. It's amazing. It just builds that confidence.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
There's something about this setup that feels
it's
different.
Very similar to the Chris Powell time that season. It's very similar,
but I don't know if it's something about the setup or anything like that, but the football we're playing, especially that Forest first half, it is some of the best football I've seen Charlton play my whole life. It's just something about the way we are playing rather than the players necessarily. It is really good stuff. I love being in the Championship. I love this league. I think this is such a great league. Anyone could beat anyone.
It's a brilliant league.
You're never going to have a dominant team because they go up. You know, next person, you know, someone could be in the playoff final 1 year, could be in a relegation battle next year. It's an amazing league. And to stay in this league, if not promoted, obviously, listen, I'd love to get promoted. But if we don't, I'd be so happy in this league because it's so much fun.
Well, that comes to my question because, you know, with fans, we always remember what recently happened. And if Charlton do say, let's make the playoffs this year, and then they don't get promoted, but they made the playoffs, then instantly, ahead of next season, you go, well, we made the playoffs last year, so we've got to make the playoffs this year.
Absolutely.
And that's the bare minimum requirement. It doesn't always work like that, you know, and you can fall through that trap door. Is there an element, let's just find our feet, you don't want to say a couple of years, because the end goal is hopefully to go up again, but you can fall into that trap, and then your bar is raised, and it's always hard to reach it, isn't it, Mark?
All fans have got to do is look at the league table. They'll see Stoke City down there. They'll see Huddersfield down there. That's the wake-up call. That's the, you know, come on, have a look. Let's calm down, you know. That's the way it goes.
But how do fans keep calm then when you're, not you three in particular, but when you are up there and then you're predicting 7-9 and then it happens and we're talking October. How do you do it, Mark?
A defeat to someone, that'll bring us back down to earth. We don't want that, but that's what... It's inevitable. We're going to lose. We're going to lose a game at some point.
I'm beaten, Mark.
But it's inevitable. We will lose a game at some point. But, you know, it's when, though.
I don't see... I personally don't see... When it's like this, you might as well just enjoy it. You know,
absolutely.
You might as well get carried away because it might not, you know... But all signs are there at the moment that it is going to continue.
Well,
and
my missus says she loves it. We're winning at the moment, so because I'm happy.
Well, that's it. Well, but then you've been winning for a long time, and it is hard to turn off that winning feeling, ain't it? The feel good factor has certainly carried over from last year.
Well, two defeats in 2019 in the league.
Exactly, and the stats are there. I think it's only Man City and Liverpool that have taken more points in the calendar. Sheffield United possibly, but it's also I think going up via the. Playoffs as well gives you that momentum because it's a really good way to go up if you do go up.
Well, this has been the Charlton Fan Show. We look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Thank you.